Let's take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Perilous times. We will take a break from the book of James this week and ponder some timely issues. Are you in 2 Timothy chapter 3? Well, we'll be looking at that shortly. The CNN's chief medical correspondent, Sanjay Gupta, was talking to Dr. Anthony Fauci, am I saying his name right, about HIV and AIDS 20 years ago. Now, you understand what I'm saying. 20 years ago, there was this interview between Sanjay Gupta and Dr. Anthony Fauci. Near the end of the conversation, he asked this question, what do you really worry about? And he responded, what I worry about is a respiratory virus that is lethal and more contagious than the flu. Now, this was 20 years ago. But then in 2017, Dr. Fauci is quoted as saying, there will be a surprise pandemic within the next several years. He's quoted as saying that in 2017, which gives rise to conspiracy theories all over the place. If you would, let's stand together as we read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the opportunity to come and to sing a few songs of praise. And Lord, now as we look into your holy word and we have some thoughts, we hope that they will be a blessing and encouragement to each that are here. And Lord, may we remain strong in our faith during this curious time. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the last horrific pandemic was the H1N1 virus in 1918 that infected an estimated 500 million people, or one-third of the world's population at that time, and killed at least 50 million people worldwide. How often the truth is buried, even when it is being talked about. On her website, carolynclick.com, Israeli-American journalist Carolyn Click reported months ago, it is widely recognized that the Chinese regime waited 2 months to tell the world that the virus is transferred between humans and is exceedingly infectious. Even worse, from late January until late February, the Chinese bought $1.2 billion worth of medical protective gear. This included 2 billion masks and more than 25 million protective suits. In other words, while China was hiding the dangers of the Made in China virus from the world, they were buying up the world's supply of protective gear and thus ensuring that when the virus began to strike the rest of the world, the rest of the world would lack the means to protect itself. Unquote. Now, I do not know where she got her information, but if that is anywhere near true, that's terrible. Terrible. But notice verse 1, this no. Do you realize there are a lot of things that we need to know? Correct? We need to know certain things. And Paul is writing Timothy and he says, this no. This is something important. He says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. In verses 2 through 4, we find a whole list of iniquities, of sins that describes today's society. You read what we just read, and you would have to say that describes the world in 2020. Every one of these things. And you may know people who are just like some of these things that have been mentioned. But let us look at just one of them. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Is that scriptural? What did Jesus have to say? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We are to be people of love for others. Today, society says, love yourself. You deserve it. You deserve the best things. It's all about you. They shall be lovers of their own selves. I read this the other day by Chris Katoka, who wrote, and it may be just a couple of months ago, but you'll find it humorous. She says, I think you'll agree with me that nothing seems normal anymore. The governor has made another saying that people should wear masks. So now if I go to my Kroger, they have closed the south entrance so that everybody has to go through the north entrance. Is that normal? No, because I always park by the south entrance. I'm so confused. Because when I'm finished with the cashing things out, I want to turn right, and now I got to turn left. You say, Pastor Paul, get over it. I'm working at it. But nothing seems normal anymore. Continuing, COVID-19 has emptied highways, closed schools, turned homes into offices, shuttered small businesses and big corporations, closed ballparks and restaurants, and for some reason made it impossible to find toilet paper. Have you figured that one out yet? Now, I realize you can now go to Kroger and there are a few things of toilet paper available. Yes. Our normal way of life has been turned upside down, leaving us asking, when will my normal return? Do you think our normal will return by January of 2021? It's hard to say. My regular pattern of life has been significantly disrupted. I'm learning there is no constant state of normal. No one knows the future extent of the fallout from COVID-19 or how this pandemic will change our lives, unquote. Personally, one word describes life today, inconvenient. It's amazing. Let me give you an example. the virus comes in and Sterling Heights closes the recycle center over here on Clinton River Road. Now, I don't have the can that goes out every week. I just take it over to the recycle center, and they closed it. And then they reopened it, except now they have three people guarding it so that people from Clinton Township or Utica don't bring their stuff in, I guess. I don't know. They check my license. They only let me go on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. And I have to go in at certain times. Inconvenient. Do you agree with me? Or do you think I'm just being picky? Thank you for none of you saying I'm just being picky. Yes. Jim Showers, executive director of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, was asked the question, how does the coronavirus pandemic relate to scriptures? He quotes, some people wondered if it was God's judgment on the United States for the recently announced Israeli-Arab peace plan that cedes land belonging to Israel to the Arabs for the Palestinian state. But since the coronavirus is a global epidemic that began in China and spread around the world, it seems unlikely to be a judgment on the United States. He continues, I do believe the Bible can help us understand. For in the Bible, pestilence is never portrayed as a random or naturally occurring phenomenon. It is always seen as a judgment or punishment from God. Pestilence, by definition, is a contagious epidemic disease of devastating proportions that leads to a high mortality rate and widespread panic. Would you describe what we've gone through then as this? Let me reread it. Pestilence, by definition, is a contagious epidemic disease of devastating proportions that leads to a high mortality rate and widespread panic. The word literally means destruction. Destruction. God repeatedly warned Israel that he would bring a judgment of pestilence on the Jewish people if they failed to obey him and keep his law. Leviticus 26:25. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. Deuteronomy 28:21-22. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it, the Lord shall smite thee with the consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation. A pestilence. The prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel frequently announced a pestilence on Israel as God's judgment for the Israelites' disobedience. However, the psalmist says that those who are faithful to God will be protected from pestilence. He shall deliver thee from the noisome pestilence. However, epidemics were not limited to Israel. God also used them to judge individuals, families, and nations. When the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant and carried it to their town of Ashdod, God smote them with fatal tumors, 1 Samuel 5. And it's sad to note, when the Philistines sent the Ark back, the people of Beth Shemesh, 50,000 Jewish men, became afflicted by God with the same disease and died because they looked into the Holy Ark. 1 Samuel chapter 6. Can God send judgment? God has sent judgment, and he will send judgment. In Scripture, the appropriate response to pestilence was to turn away from sin and pray for God's forgiveness, not to try to stamp out the affliction. Do you believe America needs to turn away from sin and ask for forgiveness? And yet, aren't we being told that science will take care of it? God may give the answer. Has he yet? Not yet. Because there's one or two clinics trying to figure it out, right? How many clinics do you think are trying to figure it out? Around the world? They're trying. Not yet. Not yet. In Scripture, the appropriate response to pestilence was to turn away from sin and pray for God's forgiveness, not to try to stamp out the affliction. When the Israelites spoke against God and Moses, God sent fiery serpents that killed many of them. The people prayed to God for forgiveness rather than trying to kill the snakes. We need to be praying to God. I stopped for gas this morning at Costco. It's what I do now. I get up every Sunday morning and drive over to Costco, buy gas. Good number of people there. How many were dressed to go to church? None but me. You say, well, Pastor Paul, how do you know? Why do you think I know? Because I'm nosy. I looked to see if any of those people looked like they were going to go to church. What has happened in America today about church? It's unimportant. It's unimportant. People don't care. They believe the government's going to take care of them. Cheryl said she thought when churches opened up, people would flock to them. Have they flocked to them? No. They haven't. Because we don't care. Our minds are so set on, we have everything imaginable. You know what happened to Donna the other day? I'm going to tell you what happened to Donna. She didn't have any water at our house. You know how hard it is to do anything in your house when you don't have any water? And so I gave her the phone number to call, and she called, and they sent out a truck, and sure enough, on our street, as far as I know, it's just our street. And the street behind us? Two streets. We didn't have any water. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? What if suddenly you didn't have any water? Not just for 4 hours. How about for 40 days? Would it mess up your life? It'd mess you up, wouldn't it? Yeah. You know, the fact of the matter is we have become so complacent because we automatically think the electricity is going to work and the air conditioning is going to be on and the water is going to run and the refrigerators are going to be stocked and we don't need God. You know, God can make it so we need him. Because I'm going to tell you something. Do you think COVID-19 is the last one to come towards us? What's going to happen in 2 or 3 years when COVID-20 comes? You think they shut things down now? You wait for the next time. Read the letters from the missionaries, and I'll be putting out more. A lot of the countries in the world are shut down far greater than we are. The pestilence is also spoke of in the New Testament as a sign. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. We'll begin reading at verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's amazing how one tiny virus, too small to be seen with the naked eye, can bring the world to its knees. From a biblical point of view, the coronavirus impacting so many lives on this planet in one way or another is a message to humanity to repent. It is God's nature to warn mankind. And pestilence is one of the ways to get people's attention and remind them who it is they shall fear. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Our nation needs to repent. Is it a judgment? Well, why would there be judgment upon the world? Well, how about evolution? The teaching of evolution in our schools as if it is truth. When it is what? It's not a good theory. But it is so ingrained in our society that people think, well, what do you mean we didn't evolve? Well, we either have to believe, number one, there was a God. Okay? Or you have to believe that there was something for no reason. And that something exploded. And that something exploded became something. The suns, the stars, a planet, this perfect ball placed exactly where it needs to be. Exactly. And yet the evolutionist says, we're here by chance. So what are we denying when we say that evolution is true? We're denying God's word. How about the sexual perversions that we are seeing in our society today? What are we denying? God's plan for intimacy. So we're denying his word. We're denying his plan. How about abortion? What's the number one country in the world with abortions? China. Number one country. Yes. We are denying God's right for humans to be born. For we are created in God's image. Judgment. How about human trafficking? You know, it's something we didn't think about 30 years ago. I'm not saying it wasn't happening then, but it's happening now, isn't it? Absolutely. You know what human trafficking is? Prostitution. Pornography. Slavery. And it's running rampant in our world today. For one reason. M-O-N-E-Y. And the love of money is what? The root of all evil. Do you think we need to repent in our society today? 2 Timothy 3:4 says, "Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Lovers of pleasure. We've talked a lot about entertainment in our society today. We are an entertainment-driven society. You're old enough to remember when television only had five stations. Yeah? Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 7, Channel 9, and then Channel 50. Yeah, went off at, what, about 11:30 or 12 o'clock? Yeah. What's it on now? 24/7. Entertained around the world. And if it's more than that, now you can buy things online. Yeah. Someone told Donna yesterday, I need to stop shopping online. Yeah. We have entertainment galore. I was reading in an article about saving money. Do you like to save money? You know what the problem is? Most of us don't like to save money anymore. Because we want to spend it all, right? But they said one of the best ways to save money is that when you go online and you have the cart. Okay, I don't understand this. I did it once with Pastor Stephen because we wanted some bulletins. Do you remember that? And you had the cart. And I felt powerful. I could ask him to buy any bulletin available. But we didn't. And they said, don't fill up the cart. Now, don't yell at me. I'm just telling you what I read about saving money. But it's all about entertainment. Is the church to be an entertainment center? Now, we can have a good time. I like to sing. Do you like to sing? I do. I like to sing. I like a good humorous story, Dr. Fleming. But why do we come to church? Isn't this the reason? Isn't this what the church should be about? The preaching and teaching of the Word of God? What has happened? Entertainment. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Verse 5 says, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Do you know there are churches that teach theistic evolution? They teach that God used evolution. Why would God have to use evolution? And yet they teach that. I would ask you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So the pastor is to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Most people don't mind the exhorting part. It's that reprove and rebuke part. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That shall be turned unto fables. What is evolution? It's a fable. Sexual perversions in our society? Fables. Abortions? Fables. We find that our society has turned their ears away from the truth. And it's hard to even to get Bible-believing Christians to believe the truth. But the truth will what? Make you free. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation. I don't think it would hurt any of us or all of us at our invitation time to either come to the altar or to the front pew or to be in your own place where you are right now and pray for America. And to pray for gospel preaching churches. Pastor Stephen and I were at a pastor's meeting on Tuesday. It's the first one we've been able to attend in quite a while. And a number of the pastors were quite concerned that people were not coming back to the church, that they were too willing just to stay at home and watch it. But they're concerned about their churches. Maybe you'd like to come forward and pray. sit there in your pew and pray for America, for gospel preaching churches, for your family, and for yourself, that we can be used of the Lord. 375 is our invitation song, Just As I Am. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask, Lord, that you would bless it for your honor and for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.